All right, man. So we're getting close to the holidays, and I had this random thought the other day. People that kind of either post on social about how they've helped and done something nice for someone else. Like, for example, you know, I was in the drive-thru at Starbucks. I paid for the person behind me, you know, pay it forward, everybody, happy holidays. Or I was at Walmart. I saw this single mom and she only had $40. The bill was $50 and she's trying to figure out what she's going to put back. So I paid for all of their groceries and told her to keep her $40, you know, bless others, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, all that kind of bullshit, right? I can't stand people that do that. If you're going to do something nice for somebody, just do it and don't talk about it. Don't post about it. Don't brag about it. Just do something nice for somebody and leave it at that. And I encourage people to do nice things for each other, but don't post about it because I feel like it takes something away from the act. You know, I think if you're doing a community service project, you got your coworkers, y'all are going to go, you know, work at, you know, food bank and you take a company photo, you share that, that's different. I'm talking about the people that do that specifically where I did this, you know, I'm cool. I saw a kitten in a tree. I climbed up and I got it down, took a selfie.
Well, you got to take a picture of the cute cat. But first of all, what year do you think you're in? What world are you living in? Do you think this is 2000? Of course I'm going to post about it. It's the social media world. And what do we live for in social media? Likes and retweets. So how do what gets likes? The fact that, hey, guys, make sure you do like I did because I did my good deed for the day. Of course.
I think it's just cheese, you know, in a certain instance, right? So let's say you're a celebrity. You're trying to raise money for a particular charity. And so you're going to talk about it because you have a million followers on that. That makes sense. I totally get that. I get what you're doing. But I'm just talking about the regular Joe Smoes who are out here just because you bought someone's latte, you know, you want to get some pats on the back for that. I just don't see the big deal. You know, and then if you did do it, awesome. Shut up and go about your day. You don't need to post about that. You don't need to share that with anybody. Why is that a big deal?
You would think that you're not on social media because you already know the rules of this. If you go to the gym and you work out and you don't post about it, did you even work out?
That's not apples to apples. That's not apples to apples. I travel a lot, so I like to check in. I'm like, I'm heading here or whatever. It's not that I'm hosting the show. Look at me. I'm awesome. I'm going to Boise, Idaho. No. All I'm just saying is, hey, I'm traveling, and here's what I'm doing. But there's a difference to say that I did this nice thing for somebody, and I want everybody to know that I did it. I think it takes something away, and we're getting close to the holidays where this is a time of year where everybody thinks about others, and I think that's great. All I'm saying is if you do some nice things for other people, awesome, yay you, shut up, don't post about it, and just move on about your day.
You know, that's great. You don't need a pat on your back. There are a lot of people who do.
I guess I just don't understand. Like, and the stuff you did, it's not like you built a school. You didn't pull an Oprah. You know, you bought someone's cup of coffee.
Whoa. Have Whoa. You been to Starbucks? That shit's expensive.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Mother Teresa's looking down going, why didn't I think of doing that shit? Oh.
Exactly. And that's why you post about it. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out at a bar or a restaurant and overheard people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college, man.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Hey, thank you for checking us out. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications so you can be the first to know when new episodes drop. Also, do us a favor. Head over to YouTube and find us. Just search RGRT Pod. And be sure to hit the subscribe button.
Yes, we'll have full episodes. We've got episode clips, and we're adding bonus clips in the near future. Right now, we've got a subscriber contest going, so make sure you subscribe for your chance to get some of our money. Well, no, some of Terrell's money. He makes more. Just search Rick. You know what, mine. Just search Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast on YouTube, and remember to subscribe. Thanks in advance. Now back to the show. So, Terrell, what made you smile this week?
What made me smile this week is I've made it to the big 4-6. Today is my birthday.
Oh, and so, congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. Who knew when we were in college, you know, would I ever thought I would say I'm 46 years old? No, Never thought that would have happened. It's not like I was living in the streets rough. I just couldn't picture or fathom being 46 when you and I were 20.
Well, 46 was a long way away at 20, and it was old as fuck.
Yeah. It's funny. I wish I could go back to 20-year-old me and say some things. Like, you know, save your money. Leave that girl alone. She's trouble.
Wrap it up before you tap it up.
Don't go to that club. They're going to be fighting. They're going to be shooting in that club. It's been a great week. I took a little time off from work to help celebrate. So that's what made me smile. All week I've been looking forward to this day. Nice. What about yourself?
So interesting thing that made me smile this week is that I finally took some PTO, right? Not much, just 2 days. And if you're a workaholic like me, you never just go completely, I'm out, I'm checked out completely, right? So I happened to check email last night, and this is it's an email that was sent after 6 o'clock. So after COB, and I know I shouldn't respond to this email till Monday. I get this email and I can't not respond to it. I'm just like, really? Oh, all right, I'll put the phone back down. Then 2 minutes go by. I'm like, no, I should wait. Wait till Monday. About 7 o'clock in the morning, you can respond. Nah, to hell with it. And I just had to smile at myself because I'm like, I can't help it. And in the email, I said, and this is exactly why I shouldn't check email on my PTO. And that's how I started the email.
That sounds like one of those clapback emails. First of all,
that's how I was typing. First of all, this is why I don't check my email.
Was it worth it? Did you feel better that you got your retort out?
It wasn't a bad email, but you know what? I will say this. It helped me get through the rest of the weekend without worrying about what's going on. You know, I really could have waited.
You could have waited, but you had to go ahead and just.
I could have waited.
One day I get it.
One day I'll learn. I've gotten to the point where I actually take time off. There was a time when I wouldn't take time off. I've actually gotten to the point where I take time off. So there's that. So,
yeah, dude, self-care is so important. Like, I'm a big believer, and I would never take time off. And when I find that if I take time off, I have to do something or go somewhere. I can't take a week off and have a staycation because I'm going to be bored. Yeah. Like, by day two, I'm ready. So what I'll do is I'll take like a Friday, Monday, do a 4-day weekend and check out. But yeah, you got to be able to do that, man. Self-care is too important. Mental health, especially right now in pandemic and people work from home, you're stuck in the house, take that time off if you need to. It's worth it.
Interesting thing. For me, I have a hard time taking time off, but I always tell my staff that, like, hey, you earned it. Take the time off. And it's the same thing you talk about. If you could go back and talk to yourself, I would go back and tell myself, take the damn time off. And learn to do that. Learn to check out. Learn to be accessible if an emergency pops up. But the shit's not going to burn down. It's still going to be there when you get back. Check out. And for me, I can't do the Friday, Monday like you, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are always the most hectic. And if I start the week on a Tuesday, it's all downhill from there. So I'll take Thursday, Friday, you know. At least I'm learning.
What I do for the holidays, and I've been doing this consistently for years, I don't really do much for the holidays. You know, I don't have kids or anything, so it's not that big a deal. It's quickly going to the family member's house, come home. And then with COVID right now, I'm probably not going to a lot of family members' houses. So I've told all my team, hey, make sure y'all take time off for holidays, for Thanksgiving, Christmas. If you need to make me your out-of-office person, I'll cover you because I'll be available. I'll work. I think last year on Christmas Day, I went in and worked at for a little bit. So I'd rather do that. That way, January, I'm coasting.
Yeah.
Because in the recruiting world, January is easy. Whee! January is awesome.
Well, you know who's not celebrating like that, like the little piggy in the back of those in the car, in those commercials? Whee!
Yeah.
45.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is still in denial. I saw that CNN called all the states and has it as 306, 232. I think if you Google it, it still shows 290 to 232 because Georgia isn't called yet. But still in denial. Watched his press conference, what was that, Friday? And he said, you know, and the whichever administration's in here in April, you know, I believe it's going to be us. It's going to be us. But I would never lock it down. This administration will never lock it down. And so he goes through all this entire thing, but still without saying, yes, Joe Biden won. He's the next president of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to accept that. I mean, we know, I don't think any of us were surprised. Like, I can't imagine that we're going to see someone else come to the podium with a level of dignity and decorum that that position should have. So I didn't expect that. And honestly, I think we're all expecting the opposite. Like, yeah. I want to see him come out talking some trash because it's entertaining. You know, it's historic. You know, it's really fun to watch. So I didn't expect it. But yeah, he's in denial. You know, over the weekend you had the million MAGA march. I wonder where they got that name from.
But the million, no, they million didn't. No, hold up, they did not name it that, did they?
I mean, you take R&B, you take take hip hop, you take the Million Man March, which we started.
Next thing you know, we're gonna have another march. It's gonna be called. I'm gonna give a speech. It's called the We Are a Dream speech. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So you have the Million MAGA March over the weekend in D.C. and in a lot of different areas. You had a lot of marches. And, you know, that's their constitutional right to, mm-hmm. to do that. And luckily, you know, a lot of them were very peaceful. And people are going to voice their opinions. But at some point, just like in 2016, how a lot of people were upset. Right. At some point, we all had to say, OK, we need to move on. Yeah. And we need to kind of get over it and move on. And so it happened to the Dems and liberals in 2016. And now it's time for the conservatives and Republicans to get together and say, hey, let's move on and figure out how do we forge ahead.
Well, part of this, too, is going to be, and this is where I'm glad that we had this big interest in the elections this year. I mean, you're talking about 73 million voted for Trump. You had 78 million that voted for Biden. The largest voters on both sides ever, right?
Yeah.
So that's great because you need more people involved in the political process. If you ever watch Whose Votes Count Explained, it's really interesting that very first episode that talks about voting and how participation for the U.S. is so far down, even though most countries have done their elections based around what America has done and how they set up their election process. And yet America is so far behind in voter participation. But it's not over, and it's going to be an interesting battle, and I think all eyes need to be on Georgia. Interesting that Georgia went blue, but it really doesn't mean as much until the Senate race is over. You've got two seats up. If because I think the Republicans are up 50 to 48 right now, is it? Or it's somewhere around there. But either way, you've got two that will allow this to kind of even out a little more. And those two seats, there's a lot of money that's going to be spent there. I think they said $250 million is going to be spent in advertising. So all eyes, you know, somebody in Georgia, tell them, hey, you need to register to vote. Look it up. Google it right now. You'll see exactly, because you still have to register to vote in the runoff. You can't just go, oh, yeah, make sure you register to vote for the runoff. Make sure you vote in the runoff. Because you can early vote. Same thing. So, and hopefully this early voting becomes a part of the process for everybody. Because I think this is something that we will see a lot more and allow for more voter participation.
Yeah. Well, and I think early voting, it makes more sense because a lot of people talk about the time it takes mm-hmm. to go vote. And you look at the pandemic, I think we got a lot of early votes because people didn't want to be there expecting these huge crowds because we can't really be around each other in these crowds. But to me, it was much better time saver. How many years have we seen people waiting till election day and it's taking them 4, 5, 6 hours to vote? If I was an employer, I would encourage all my people to early vote because that's going to be less time. They're going to be away from work, right? Selfishly, I would totally think that. But also for them, like you don't want to sit in line for 5 or 6 hours on the day of the election. And then what if you get there too late and then you get sketchy because you're in line, but it's after the deadline, but you're in line, so they're still going to count yours. Oh, that just gets messy. Just get it out of the way and do it early. So I hope that winds up being a trend that we see in the 2024 election, that everybody got out there and voted early.
So the next thing is that I think I'd love to see not continue is these claims of all these dead voters. Did you see this one? There was a woman in Georgia that the Trump administration said, oh, this is a this man voted and he's been dead for 16 years or 14 years, I think it is. And Tucker Carlson doubles down and on this fraud. And all of a sudden, the TV stations there had to call him out in Georgia and just go, hey, no, actually, it was Agnes Blaylock is the woman who voted. But mm-hmm. when she signed her ballot, her husband has been dead since 2006, right?
Yeah.
She signs it Mrs. James Blaylock.
Yeah.
It's old fashioned and she's an old fashioned woman. That's the way she's going to sign it. So there's an honest mistake there for them to kind of see this way. But if you're really checking for voter fraud, you got to make sure that you're actually correct in what you're saying is voter fraud, right?
Right, but here's the catch about that deal. Mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson apologized for that one person who said they're alive. He didn't apologize for making claims that there's a large amount of dead people that voted for Biden. He just said, oops, our bad, this one person is alive. But there are still a lot of voters who are dead people that voted.
Yeah.
Yeah, same as...
But
same
the
as
other 9,999?
Yeah. Totally, all dead, until I hear otherwise. And the same claim happened in Michigan, where they tried to say these dead voters are voting. And mm-hmm. you got the one person that's like, actually, hey, I'm 72. I'm alive and I voted.
That's so funny. Like, no, I'm alive. I'm breathing. I'm healthy. But yeah, here's the thing. So this one was also done by BBC. And BBC, what they did was they just randomly picked some names and said, well, let's see. Because as big as America is, you have people by the same name who were born the same month, same year in different places. Mm-hmm. And so they called, they said they spoke to out of the 30 people that they called, they spoke to 11 who were supposedly dead. Another 17, they said they couldn't find, they couldn't find any evidence of them being dead, but they found evidence of them being alive past the time that they said they were dead.
Yeah.
So if you take that sample, that's 28 people out of 30. There's your voter fraud. Oh my God. Two of them might have died.
Yeah. Well, and it's a sad tactic. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was reversed, if the Democrats would have done the same thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's a sad tactic, but that's just where we are in this world. And the other sad part, it's these media outlets, because again, people follow the media. They're not really looking for facts.
Yeah.
Just follow the media. The media will throw this crap out there because they know people are going to believe it. Mm-hmm. Just look at QAnon. So many people believed all of that without even researching. They just read it and was like, huh, there probably are kids in that pizza place. I totally believe that, you know? And so they just run with it. And so these media outlets will throw that stuff out there just to keep the spin, just to keep their advertisers going and their followers going. And I think when people start look at it from that perspective, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully they start to believe, but that's just, it's just dumb. But again, CNN would have done it. CNN would have been like, you know, there's a lot of rumor of voter fraud in Georgia. And 10,000 of those votes are dead people. You know, rumor MSNBC.
Yeah.
Yeah. MSNBC would have said it. Rachel Maddow would have been out there going, I've been hearing that there's a lot of.
I will say
they're still doing some research, but I've heard, you know.
It's definitely a thin line between news and opinion nowadays. And you know what? I think we've had so much in on politics and been so politically heavy. Let's just do some random thoughts real quick, right? Like,
okay,
I saw this thing pop up the other day. As more people are working remotely, there is a thought process that stay-at-home workers should pay a privilege tax. The privilege of being able to stay home because you're not spending money to drive to work. You're not spending money in gas, you know, on your car, on your clothes, because really you're only half dressing. And if you're working from home.
So, and this is that moment where I'm like, Terrell, don't say it. Don't go viral because this could be too bad. Two things. One, I'd have to understand what the privilege tax is and what does that go to. Mm-hmm. So if it's like a something that's going to help something where I'm like, okay, it's only how much, you know, it's only $5 per check that's going to go towards that, I might be interested. I just need to understand more about it. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, I think to look at people who are what this is calling privilege that get a chance to work from home, that's like looking at people who are wealthy and saying it's not fair, you know. And some of these people who are privileged working from home, some of them are fortunate to be in certain industries that require that. Some of them, through hard work, education, they got to this certain level. There's certain blue collar essential worker that's going to have to work on site, right? That's just how it is. If you work the drive through at Chick-fil-A, you can't do that remotely. That's the job you signed up for, but that job also pays X, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the CEO of Chick-fil-A is not in the restaurant. He's not there greeting customers. He's at home sending out emails and giving out direction. His compensation is this, right?
XYZ, so, ABCD.
Exactly. And so I don't think it's fair to say that, because I feel that that can come across as insulting to people that are in those roles. And again, I personally have a lot of respect and appreciation for the people that are frontline workers in any industry, because I was there for so long. And the reason why one of the motivators I had to get to where I'm at in my career was when I was working in the restaurant industry, every month you'd have a new menu that came out and I'd see the menu and I'm looking at it and look at the whole rollout. And I'm like, this is stupid. Who came up with this idea? In my mind, it was somebody sitting in an office. Somebody sitting in an office. Totally came up with this. I'm just like, this is dumb. I don't understand why we're doing this. So my goal is I want to be somebody that sits in the office that makes decisions. I don't,
want to come up with these dumb ideas.
Yeah, I want to come up with some dumb ideas that I can pass down and be like, hey, trust me, it's going to work. But I worked hard to get to that place. And so I think if you come across this mindset that people who work from home have a privilege tax, I don't think that's fair. And you got to look at what's going to happen. A lot of companies who normally wouldn't do work from home are seeing that people are more productive when they're working from home. They're getting a lot of stuff done. They save money on real estate, so you don't need to have an office. You don't need to have all those things. Just get them a laptop and an extra monitor, and they can get to work. You don't have to worry about all the other extra costs that come with having an office building. So you're going to see a whole lot more people working from home, even after the magical vaccine comes out. As early as they say it's going to come out. I would rather be in office than actually work remote, because I don't like to email and wait for a response. I want to walk over to your cubicle and be like, hey, Yanni, quick question for you. You got a second? I need this. Da-da-da. Cool. High five. But just like the connection, the relationship building, I think it's better when it's on site. You know, my current role, I did my onboarding remotely. That's hard because you don't get a chance to get to know people, and you're on these calls and they don't even have their camera on. So you just see their stock photo that they have. It's just totally different. So a lot of people don't like being at home.
Yeah, I like working in the office. I like the personal interaction. I think you're right. You get more ideas shared that way. You get to. I like to read people. So I'm not a big phone person. I like to talk to people in person because your body language is going to tell me a lot more than your words are ever going to say. But also, I love when people come to my office and go, "Hey, you busy? Trick question. What do you want?" Don't ask that question. Yeah, but I love giving that.
I am busy. What would change? Nothing. Yeah. No. I'm with you. I'm as a recruiter. In person interviews, I can read a lot about a person in a face to face interview. Doing it through a Zoom or just over the phone, it's different.
You judge those who have bad lighting that are sitting up in front of their window and you can't see them to look like they're in a CIA.
No. What it is here's the thing is you have someone that, and this has happened to me in my past, where you're doing a video interview with somebody, but their camera or it's like maybe their phone. So when they start talking, all you see is like from here to here. And I'm just like, hey, and so you're trying like, how do I say this kindly? Can you like step back? Because I just see your chin. You know, I can't
see. Hey, dumbass, I can't see you.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're just showing me just like, here to here, I see mouth and cleavage. I'm like, that's a problem. It's like, I need you.
Yeah, Pete Viley auditions are tomorrow. Oh, man. Speaking of keeping mouth shut, or really cameras closed, Jeffrey Toobin.
So we talked about that when that happened. So that's for people that don't remember, this was a gentleman that was on a Zoom call and apparently thought the camera was off, thought he was muted, and was also on another separate video call, probably from another device. And decided that was a good time to get to know himself, if you will, and didn't realize the camera was still on him. And so he got suspended. And I knew, I'm like, okay, he's going to get fired. He has to get fired. So they finished their investigation. And of course, he's been fired. 27 yeah. years. 27 mm-hmm. years. You built a career for 27 years. And you couldn't mm-hmm. wait 30 minutes to get off a Zoom call to get to know yourself. There was something about the other device you were on that you were like, it's go time. I can't help it. I don't understand. And then how do you look at your family? 27-year career that you built up, you ruined all for a few minutes.
Yo, when that feeling kicks in, man, I mean, you know. He didn't do it to anybody else. He was doing it to himself. He thought he had the camera off. He didn't. He tried to even close the laptop down. Didn't close it all the way, so it gave everybody a better look at what was happening. He didn't want him to, just in case the camera was still on, he didn't want him to see his O face. But, you know, does he deserve to be suspended? Yes. Does he deserve to be fired? Thank God he doesn't work for my company, because we'd have to say yes. But since he doesn't, I'm going to go, no, don't fire the man. He didn't. Yeah. It's not like he did it on purpose.
No, you know, you're fired for being stupid. That's what that is. That's a stupid tax. You're fired for being stupid. You should know better.
He's an old man. He doesn't know how to use technology.
I don't care if the Viagra kicked in. He's like, I got to do this. I got to do this.
I thought this shit was going to be over 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. We're running too long. I can't wait. No, that's his fault. He deserved to be fired, period. The only thing I feel bad for is his family. You embarrass them. I mean, that is embarrassing, you know, for you. That's such a public deal. So, but you did this to yourself. So I don't feel bad for him. I feel bad for his family.
Yeah. All right. I feel you.
That's just how I roll. Feel bad for his family. But no, other than that, that's some crazy bullshit. Well, speaking of this bullshit, I'm going to let you go talk about your boy, because I have the feeling that we're going to be talking about him a lot, because you're passionate.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder, man. He's so he's back out here calling out Tyson Fury, right? And interesting things. He tweeted this. He said, hey, Tyson Fury, and he adds him, don't worry about me. I'm fine. Blessed. The only thing I want from you is for you to honor your agreement and fight me. I gave you two shots when I didn't have to, and it changed your life. Now it is time for you to be a man and give me my shots as you agreed to. Two things. Deontay Wilder did not write that tweet. I'm not saying anything else past that. He did not write that tweet. Okay. His publicist wrote that tweet. Now, number two, you made all these accusations about how Fury cheated. You went down the wormhole and believed the hype because the king can't lose. Yeah, well, the king sometimes gets defeated, and you did get defeated. You lost. You technically should have lost the first fight. They gave it to you, so you were right to do the second fight. You know, at the end of the day, man, be cordial in your loss. Own it. Stop being Trump. Jesus Christ. You know, be a man. And AJ got beat by a guy that was way out of shape. Or just at least looked like he was out of shape. It looked like he had no business in the ring with Anthony Joshua, and Andy Ruiz beat him, right? But Anthony Joshua took his loss like a man, didn't make excuses, even though he had them. And he never used them. He wasn't feeling well. He never said that until he won the belts back. He won the belts back and said, yes, that first fight, and it's because they asked him, what happened in that first fight? I wasn't feeling well, but I wasn't going to use that as an excuse. At the end of that fight, you saw the look on his face. He's just like, look, I'm going to exercise my rematch clause. I'm coming back. And he set that fight up before Andy Ruiz could even get to celebrating that night. Already had the rematch ready to go. Where were you when you lost yours to get that rematch set? You know, I know COVID hit, but that's the first thing you should be doing. Let me get my title back. Let me get it back. I need to. No, you know you don't want to fight Fury again. And all this hooping and hollering on Twitter. Come on, man. Come on, man.
And here's the thing. Do you think Fury should give him another shot?
So here's where I go in. I can see both sides. And I say that I see both good points on both sides. The reason being is because I can see why he doesn't want to fight him again. He goes, look, you call my character into question and you call me a cheat. You went with all these accusations. I could literally sue you. And he said this, I could be like most people in the world and sue you for defamation. I could sue you for $100 million for defamation. I'm not going to, but I'll never fight you again. And I understand that point. I totally understand that point. But then I go, the other part says, you know what? I'm going to fight you one more time and I'm going to take you out a lot sooner. And since you're not going to have Mark Breland in the corner, you're going to feel this one. You're going to take all of this. Because I don't think Deontay Wilder can beat Tyson Fury. The first fight, Tyson Fury outboxed him. The second fight, he just beat the shit out of him. And if you go back and look at that first fight again, you'll see he had him beat the entire fight till Wilder hit him with that one punch. And that's all Wilder does. He waits for that one punch. He started to believe the hype. They got to be right 99.9% of the time. I just got to be right once. Well, if you don't get that once, it don't matter.
So I agree with you. I don't think – I think Fury should not give him another shot and just move on with it. Which now, the thing is, somebody eventually is going to offer him enough money.
Yeah.
To be like, you should go ahead and do this. And then if he does get another – if Wilder gets another shot, to me, the only way Wilder can redeem himself is by knockout. It can't be a someone stopping the fight. It can't be by decision. You have to knock him out. And if you don't knock him out, then you need to shut the hell up, period. But to your point, all the stuff he said about Fury and he was cheating and all that, I mean, it doesn't help. But he's got to keep pushing. But eventually, someone's got to offer Fury. Because, I mean, what has Fury really been doing since that fight?
Oh, so Fury's got – well, only reason Fury hasn't fought again yet is because of COVID. He has a fight coming up in December, but he's fighting in December. And then here's where you said about the money. I'll tell you where the bigger money is. The biggest money right now is the unification of the heavyweight titles, right? The heavyweight division, undisputed championship. And that's where it's Fury versus AJ. And AJ has already said, we've got two fights lined up. I'm going to fight him twice in 2021 because we're going to fight the first time. And then there's going to be a rematch for whoever loses. That's where the money is. Because you want to talk about money? Oh, yeah. they're gonna rake it in because
AJ and Fury are fighting in December.
Not in December. They're both fighting in December, but not each other. They'll fight in early part of 2021, and then they'll fight again probably 6 months later.
So what happens if Fury fights whoever in December and loses?
Well, then I guess AJ fights whoever that is. I don't think Fury loses, though. The guy he's going to fight is not anybody that he should lose to, just like AJ shouldn't lose to Povilev, but anything's possible.
He shouldn't have lost to Ruiz.
Yeah, he damn sure shouldn't have. He was overlooking Ruiz because he just wanted to have a good showing in America, and then because the other guy got caught cheating, got caught doping, and that's why that fight was gone. He picked Ruiz. He just wasn't ready for Ruiz because the next thing was to try and set up another fight with Wilder. So, but yeah, that's all said and done.
Well, another some more bullshit that I read this week. Mm-hmm. You had this member of the school board, John Vinverlo. He resigned as president of the Los Alamitos Elementary School District on Sunday following his wife's offensive tweet about Kamala Harris. His wife tweeted that apparently all you need is a black P word and no brains to be the vice president. That's what she said, which is very disrespectful, right? And kudos for this guy to resign over his wife's tweet. Now, the thing that got me, and we've talked about this apology tour crap before, right? I think it might have been our very first episode we talked about the apology tour. Mm-hmm. So this woman says that, this is her excuse for what happened. She does this post.
This is going to
be good. Some of you know I suffer from a debilitating neurological disease, and as a result, I take various medications. Mm-hmm. Over the past several days, I've been weaning off my meds to prepare for a hospitalization that is scheduled to start tomorrow, November 9th. I believe that the change in my medication reduced my judgment between right and wrong when I made those posts. There is no excuse for what I wrote, although she just gave one. There's no excuse for what I wrote, but I ask for your understanding that my state of mind was far from normal last night. Come on, man. I just can't believe that. I mean, I'd rather you just own it. It's what you said. But to get out there and make that type of excuse that you're weaning yourself off your medications and you didn't mean to say that for this historic moment, regardless of whether you voted for Biden and Harris or not, to say that the only reason that she got the vice presidency is because she is a black or she has a black female organ. That's why. It's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. And it's not going to be the last, because look at all the stuff people said about Michelle Obama.
Yep.
So this is not going to be the last. So I'm like, own it. If you are racist, if you are sexist, own it. Don't apologize. Don't give me this. I was drinking and I took NyQuil and oops, I said the N-word 5 times in a text. You know, own your stuff. That's all I ask, is just freaking own it.
First of all, I want to commend you on cleaning it up as you're speaking about the vice president-elect. That was very kind of you to clean it up in this uncensored world.
Of course. I have family that watches this show. You know, I don't want to get that text. Hey, call me when you get a minute. I'm like, God bless. I know they saw
it. You wouldn't believe it. My texts just don't work anymore. But you know, here's the thing about it. With this woman, she did not have to do the apology, especially didn't have to tweet the apology. She has 39 followers. She could have called every last one of them and said that. So she didn't have to do that, right? So let's just start there. She did not have to do that. That tweet was so unnecessary. But the other part of this is, I am not surprised to hear her say something like that. I had actually somebody say to me in 2012, one of my coworkers, who said the only reason Barack Obama was elected president of the United States because he was black. I went, really? I said, well, if that was the case, then Jesse Jackson would have been president a long time ago. And she goes, well, he should have run then.
Yeah.
That's right. You're young. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You got to realize who you're having these discussions with. So am I surprised that people are going to say stuff like that? No. And you're right. There should be no apology along with it. The fact that he resigned over her tweet, I think it's a bit extreme. But then again, I do understand because he can't be held responsible for what his wife says, because he even said he doesn't agree with what she said. Are we supposed to be held responsible for what our kids say and what our kids do and what our spouses say and our spouses do? Are we all one? You know, all for one and one for all. No, it's because you still have your own mind and you can think or not think when you're changing your meds, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
But let's say he knows his wife, for example. Let's say it's not the medications. She's just racist and evil like that.
Oh, he knows that.
And let's say he knows that. What do you think he would say to the media? She's definitely not like that. We have black people at our house all the time. You know, I don't understand.
I have a black man who does my taxes.
Yeah. I cry every time I watch The Help. You know, I just don't, you know, we don't feel this in our hearts. It's the medication, right? So of course he's going to come out and say that. But to me, it's just ridiculous that's where she goes. And to say that this woman has no brain, even though you don't like her, that's the thing that pisses me off about this. I don't care if you're a conservative, liberal. Everybody that's in their offices have some type of brain. Even Betsy DeVos, who I'm not a fan of. But I'm not going to say that all she has.
I'm going to challenge you on this one.
All she has is a white P word and no brain. That's not the truth, right? I mean, that's just crazy to make those type of comments.
Yeah.
And it's just reckless and dangerous. And I think you need to be held accountable for it. So I'm glad. I hope that, you know, she's back on her regular medications and being nice to black women now that she's balanced out. I'm sure that, you know, she's at the Baptist church in the front row, you know, with a tambourine, you know, good time.
Side effects could make you a little bit racist.
Yeah. Yeah. So today it's a Buffalo Trace kind of a day.
Dope.
Yeah. Bought this nice Balzac after went a little, did a little grocery shopping. I said, you know what? You're 46. Treat yourself.
Well, I was in the store the other day. I'm like, I need to replenish. What am I going to get? And then I came across this. And I was like, I haven't seen this in a while.
Wow.
still can't get that bottle open. so I was in Montserrat at a bar right by the water. And I'm looking at what I want to drink. And I saw this bottle. And I go, that looks interesting. Let me try it.
Monkey shoulder. Yeah. Monkey shoulder is like, good.
It's and here's the thing. I would have never tried it any other time, except when you were telling me about whiskey. All the names you were telling me all sounded crazy as hell, but they tasted good. So I was like, this shit sounds crazy. I got to try it. And so I did. And I liked it. So in honor of your birthday and getting me to try weird sounding liquor, even though you didn't tell me about Monkey Shoulder, it's because of your influence why I actually bought Monkey Shoulder the first time.
Well, so I'm glad you tried it. I'm glad I've had it. It's good. It's good stuff. Tastes like a scotch. It kind of has that scotchy, smoky flavor to it.
Well, yeah. Well, technically, it is a scotch. So
yeah, it's scotch whiskey, but yeah.
Tastes like gasoline is what you're basically saying.
I just didn't want you to think it's going to taste like a Four Roses that you normally drink, or it won't have any of that flavor.
No, I've had it before, so I know I'm ready. I've prepared myself. I've got the keys ready so I can start the ignition. So to JT, a.k.a. TV, a.k.a. Ebony and Emerald, to Black and Gold, cheers and happy 46. Welcome to the Biden years.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's definitely nice and smooth, though.
Yeah, this is good. It's going to go well with this ribeye that I have on the counter.
Word.
Just I'm breathing.
And I got a roast in the crock pot, so we're about to get to that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts and some of your bullshit.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
You go wake the wipe up after this.
Yeah.